Mark chapter 5. We're actually going to look at Mark chapter 5, but some of the scriptures that we're going to mention are going to be found in Luke chapter 8, which is a complementary story to Mark 5. It's the same story, just a few different details added in. But Mark chapter 5, look at that, and then also look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And look at verse 53. Mark chapter 6, verse number 53. And notice what it says here. And when they had passed over, and they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him and ran through the whole crowd, through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. I'm assuming you know who he was by now. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 56. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. That means they were healed of their diseases. Now look at Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 24 down to verse 34 and read this story in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse number 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had many things, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, the story here, of course, is that there is a man who's come and besought Jesus Christ help for one of his kinfolk, and he's on the way to do that, and as he's on the way, this woman shows up in the crowd and steps out, and she wants to meet Jesus Christ. And in verse 27, it says there that she just wanted to simply touch the hem of his garment, because we read in chapter 6 that people touched the hem of his garment and they were actually healed. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Mark chapter 5, we're talking about the patient that the doctors could not cure. The patient that the doctors could not cure, or else you could call it a sinner that religion could not save. That's how we're going to look at it. Just to start off, I'll tell you a little joke here. I may have told it before, I can't recall, but three people died. A doctor, a teacher, and the head of a large insurance company. And when they met at the pearly gates of heaven, St. Peter asked the doctor, he said, What did you do on the earth? The doctor said, I healed the sick, and if they couldn't pay, I would do it for free. St. Peter said to the doctor, You can come in. Then the teacher came up. He asked the teacher, What did you do? She said, Well, I taught educationally challenged children. I helped them out. I taught them the ABCs and the three R's and all the things they need to know in life. And St. Peter said to her, Then you can go in. Third man came up, and St. Peter said, Sir, what did you do? Well, he hung his head in shame. He said, I was the president of a large health insurance company. St. Peter said, That's okay, you can come in too, but you can only stay 3 days, and you got to go. Amen. He got his just desserts. Amen. But now, in the chapter we see here where Jesus Christ heals, what we see in this chapter is we see the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrating his power over the devil, over disease, and even death itself. And when you study the Bible and the miracles of Jesus Christ that's recorded in the Gospels, what you find there is you find that the miracles are recorded for the purpose of showing the nation of Israel that their promised Messiah had arrived. The miracles were his credentials, his proof that he was the Son of God, he was the Christ, he was the King of Israel, he was the Messiah that the prophets had foretold for centuries in the Old Testament. They also serve as illustrations of greater spiritual truths in the Bible concerning salvation. All through the Bible, God had been preparing and unfolding the plan of redemption by which he would save mankind from their sin. And when you study these miracles, many times the healings and things that Jesus Christ performed, a lot of them you can spiritualize and you can make an application to salvation of a lost sinner coming to Jesus Christ. And that's how we're going to look at that this morning. Again, it's the patient that the doctors couldn't cure, but it's also a sinner that religion can't save. And we're going to see that it applies to us today just as well as it did back then. You read the book of Acts chapter 4. I'll read it. You don't have to turn to it unless you want to. But Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. Here, Peter and the disciples had healed a man. And they were questioned about that, about how they did it and what authority they had to do that and how they accomplished it. And verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And here's a famous verse number 12. "Neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, this man that was healed was actually a type of a sinner getting saved. And when you get healed of a disease, that's a picture and a type of getting saved and made whole when it comes to you spiritually speaking, as far as your salvation is concerned. And so Peter's talking about a man that got healed, but then he jumps right into salvation and says, this man was healed by Jesus Christ. And let me add this, he says, by the way, neither is there salvation in any other person than Jesus Christ. And this man is made whole by him, and you must be saved by Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that's the story there in Acts chapter 4. But now in Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at this woman who gets healed. We're going to see it in the same light, and that is a person who gets physically healed, but we're going to make a spiritual application to it. Now, what you see here is actually how a person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we're going to see that in this story as it unfolds. Look at verse number 25. Verse number 25. It says, "A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things." This woman here had suffered many things for many years, 12 years it says here. She was a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now I want you to notice, all, first of all, number one, this, notice her condition. Notice her condition. Her condition is that she has some disease that has riddled her body for 12 years. She has an issue of blood. And that's what she's suffering from. Now, an issue of blood is blood that's pouring out. It's like a hemorrhage. It's like a hemorrhage. I don't know if this is something that's external, internal, or both, but it's a hemorrhage of some kind. She's discharging blood from her body. They say the disease of dysentery affects your bowels and your intestines, and that issues blood. It might have been something like that, but it was some kind of really a nasty kind of a disease to have, especially in that day. They didn't have the treatments and the kind of the sanitation that we have these days to treat that kind of stuff and maybe comfort you in that kind of a thing. So here she is suffering from this. This is her condition. She's in a terrible state of physical condition here. And the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17, it says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." The life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you lose blood, you're losing your life. That's what people do when they bleed out. They die. You lose so much blood, there's no turning back. You're going to die. And so we use that term, bleeding out. The life of the flesh is in the blood. George Washington died for complications of a cold because at that time they did what was called bloodletting. They let blood out of him because they thought that the blood was tainted, and it was. And if they let the blood out enough of it, he might recuperate from it, but they let out too much and he died. If they'd have read their Bibles and believed, if they would have understood the life of the flesh is in the blood, and you don't want him to lose too much blood. But they didn't understand that in that time. The Bible still had the answer. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And you lose your blood, you die. She had a problem with her blood. Her very life was draining out of her body. In her case, her ailment's not said to be acquired or inherited. However, all of us have inherited a sinful nature from our father Adam. It's been passed down from generation to generation by our fathers, and it's passed all along through the blood. Our blood is tainted with sin. Our blood is corrupt because of our sinful nature. Every one of us here has a problem, and that is our blood is tainted, it is sinful, and that's why when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He had God's blood in Himself, not a human's blood, amen? Had divine blood, not human blood. And our blood's tainted with sin. It's corrupted by a sinful nature that we have on the inside. Her condition was apparent to everyone who saw her, and whoever saw her, they saw her coming, they realized that something was wrong with her, and you probably need to stay away from her because she's got some kind of infection, she's got a disease, and we don't want to get around it. Not all medical conditions, however, are evident. You can't see everything. You can look at her and tell something's wrong with her, but you can look at somebody else and there might be something just as bad wrong with them, but you can't tell by looking at them today. Because on the inside, it hasn't come out yet. Hasn't manifested itself yet. By the way, all of us are sinners, amen? And all of us has this disease of sin within our bodies that corrupt us, that taint us, that are killing us, and we don't even know it. But everybody's a sinner, but not every sinner looks as bad as another sinner, amen? You can look at one person and you can think, well, that's a good-looking individual there. They're dressed right, they smell right, they talk right, they live right, and you know, the inside, there could be something killing them physically as compared to somebody here who looks worse than him. When it comes to sin, no matter who you are, you're still a sinner on the inside. You may be a good sinner. You may be a bad sinner. You may be able to look at this guy and say, well, that guy's a real creep. And look at this guy and say, well, he's a good-looking fella, and that guy might be the con artist. He might be the killer, and that guy there might give you the last piece of rag off his back. But they're both sinners. One looks worse than the other, but one might be worse than the other actually in how they treat folks and how they do, amen? Her condition is she's in a sinful condition. The problem with you today is, and all of us, we're in a sinful condition. We've got a sinful condition. And it's worse than a physical condition. A physical disease might destroy your body and you may die, but if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But if you have the disease of sin and don't get it taken care of and you die from the disease of sin, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You'll never recover from that if you don't get healed of it in this day and age. Amen? People say, well, I don't like that when you condemn people. Well, we're not condemning nobody. The Bible says you're already condemned. I couldn't condemn you if I wanted to. Amen? And I don't want to. Matter of fact, God doesn't want to condemn you. He said He sent His Son to die for us that we would not be condemned. He didn't send His Son to damn you. He sent His Son to save you. But the fact is, the Bible says if you don't believe on Christ, you're condemned already. Matter of fact, you're condemned the moment you're born. You know that? We do have an inherited disease. It's called sin. Some people are born with certain diseases that they get physically from their birth. And they don't find out about until they're 40 or 50 years old. You read about a famous football player every now and then. He'll die of some disease that he had or some genetic problem he had. He was born with it, but they didn't find out about it until it was too late and he had a heart attack because he had something in there that wasn't right. He was born with it. You know what? He was condemned to die the moment he came into this world. And if you walked up to him and said, you know, hey, by the way, he goes to the doctor. And he goes to the doctor, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor does some x-rays, does some tests. Doctor comes out and says, you know what? You've got a congenital problem you were born with, and if you don't get this thing corrected, it's going to kill you by the time you're 40 years old. Most people would say, thanks, doctor, I appreciate you telling me that. It's not news I wanted to hear, but what can I do about it? How can you fix that thing? And the smart man or woman would get it fixed. You know how sinners react when you tell them something? You say, you know what? The Bible says you were born with an inherited disease. You have a congenital defect. And you were born with a problem that's going to kill you and send you to hell. And instead of saying, well, what can I do to get out of that? The answer is, how dare you condemn me? How dare you tell me that's wrong with me? Heck, you can't judge me. That'd be like telling the doctor, you can't judge me. I feel fine. There's nothing wrong with me. And the doctor says, but I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not condemning you. I'm not damning you. I'm just telling you, look, this is the problem, and we can fix it if you want to get it fixed. Hey, that's what you're paying the doctor for, is to tell you the bad news. Because you can hopefully get it fixed, amen? But you know what? Some people are born with a defect and they're condemned already. Matter of fact, all of us, again, are born with a sinful nature, and we're going to die at 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 100 years of age, but we're all going to die. It's appointed men once to die, after this, the judgment. We're all going to die. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin within us. Now, the Bible, in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, describes us as poor, sinful human beings in terms of being sick with sin. He says to the people, he said, you're a sinful nation, you're a people laid with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. He says, you've forsaken the Lord. He said, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. It says they've gone away backward. Then he says this. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? He said, you will revolt more and more. And then he says, here's his diagnosis. He says, the whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of your foot, he says, even to the head, there is no soundness. That means health in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's what this woman had, a putrefying sore. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified or soothed with ointment. He said, you people are in a mess. He said, man, you've got disease, you're diseased. And he said, you've got putrefying sores that have not been closed up, but they're just oozing out. He said, you know what? You've got an infection inside of you. Now, not everybody looks like that, but that's how God sees you and I in our sinful condition. God, I believe, does an x-ray on the sinful human race, and he records it in the Bible. Maybe even an MRI. An MRI slices through every little thing. It gets everything, amen? And God gives us one of those in the book of Romans chapter 3. He talks about the head. He said, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's like a grave. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. That's a poisonous snake. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He starts at the top with the mouth and the eyes. Then he goes down to the heart. Mark chapter 7, he says to the disciples, he said, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You say, what are you talking about? We're talking about you. We're talking about your heart. He says your heart. He says this to the disciples. He says, matter of fact, he said they're evil on the inside. You know where all sin starts? It starts in here. You know where murder starts? Here. You know where theft starts? Here. In the heart. And it comes out of it. You know where that evil eye comes from? It comes from the wicked heart. Bible said the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's your heart. You know where sin comes from? From that. If you don't keep that heart in check, you'll be a mess. And you'll mess somebody else up too around you. He says the whole man is sick. He said in Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? What is in the heart is manifest outwardly through these things here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Also, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Paul said, I can't name all of them, but you know what I'm talking about, he says. Of which I tell you before, as I've also said in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, man is a sinner. You're born a sinner. That's not a good thing. That's something that needs to be corrected and fixed, amen. But we're all born sinners. That's her condition. She couldn't help that condition. And your condition, you can't help either. You can't help the condition you have. You got a heart problem, you got this kind of problem, that kind of, you can't help what you get. But you're going to have to just deal with it. She dealt with it. She had a condition that was going to kill her. And it was killing her right there as she was in this chapter. Now look at verse 26. Notice her concern. Notice her concern. Verse 26. Said there she'd suffered many things of many physicians, and she'd spent all that she had. Her last dime, her last penny she spent to try to get some help. And when you're desperately ill and desperately sick, you'll spend everything you can to save your life. The Bible says, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. There's nothing you wouldn't do to save your life, especially if you weren't saved. And it says here she spent all she had, and it said there she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. There was no improvement. She just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Now notice this, her concern. She was concerned about her physical health. She recognized her condition. She knew there was a problem. She was concerned enough about it to do something about it and to seek help from someone she thought can help her. She spent all she had on physicians over the years without success. Now, there may have been nothing wrong with the doctors, but in this case, she was beyond their help. They could not help her. Sometimes you go to the doctor and say, you know what, we've done all we can do. There's nothing else we can do. And that may have been where she was at. No doubt it was. She could have, now notice this. She was concerned about her physical health, and many people are, but we ought to be concerned about our spiritual health. There ought to be a concern about your spiritual well-being. But first you have to realize, again, that you have a problem. The old saying is, you'll never get saved till you get lost. That is, you'll never get saved unless you realize you're unsaved and lost to begin with. And you'll never get saved, one man said, until you get sick of your sin. Some people never get sick of their sin. They love their sin. They enjoy their sin. They revel in it. They just love their sin, and ain't nothing going to take them from it. Some people love the bottle, amen. Some people love their drugs so much that it will kill them and destroy them and break their family's hearts. But they love that stuff. Well, you know it's bad for you, but they love it so much. They're going to chew it. They're going to smoke it. They're going to suck it. They're going to drink it. They're going to inject it. They're going to keep at it because they love it more than their life. Some folks love their sin more than they love their souls. And they're going to wind up paying for it in a place called hell. This woman here got sick of her sin or sick of her disease. You and I got to get sick of our sin before we ever get saved. Sinners usually try everything but the right medicine before they get saved, though. They usually go to every doctor they can to try to get some help and spend all they got trying to find the truth before they actually come to Jesus Christ. Not all cases, but many times they do. You take unsaved people, will try different doctors to try to cure their spiritual disease. I just wrote a few of them down. They'll go to Dr. Reformation's office. Amen? Dr. Reformation. They'll reform their life. They'll turn over a new leaf. They'll give up smoking. They'll give up drinking. They'll quit gambling. They'll quit doing drugs. They'll quit beating their wife. They'll quit kicking the dog. Amen? And say, I've reformed. I'm better. But still on the inside, they're sick. They'll go to Dr. Relaxation. They'll go to his office. He'll prescribe them some drugs. Here, take some Prozac. Take some Ritalin. Here's some other crutches you can have. If you can't afford that, hey, go get America's number one legalized drug. Get you some alcohol, amen? And go drown your sorrows in that. The Bible said a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because a drunkard's mind is in such a stupefied state, you can't talk to him about the Lord. You can't lead a drunk to Jesus Christ. He's not in his proper mind. He can't think. To get saved, you've got to be able to think. You've got to think. You've got to use your mind. You've got to use your brain that God gave you to consider some things. They'll go Dr. Relaxation, and they'll even put your, hey, Dr. Relaxation will even put your child at 6 and 7 years old on Ritalin, and if that's not good enough, I hear they got another drug that goes in combination with that, they'll even help me more. And then when they turn 18 and get out of school and you can't afford the drug no more, they go nuts. Dr. Relaxation ain't going to help you. Then they'll go to Dr. Recreation. They'll try to drown everything out with TV, with entertainment, with sports, with amusements, with all kinds of worldly distractions just to keep their mind off the fact that one day they are going to die and they're going to meet God in judgment. They don't want to think about that. They don't want to consider that. So they go see Dr. Recreation. Some go see Dr. Religion and think that he can help them. Ask somebody, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, good for you. Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, I go to the Baptist church. So what? Are you saved? They go to Dr. Religion. They'll claim church membership. They'll claim that they work in the church. They'll claim they've been baptized. They'll claim that they give to charity in the church. They volunteer in the community. They just do good and they be religious and still yet they're not saved. Religion can't save you. Jesus Christ died for you, not your church. Amen? Hey, the Baptist church can't save you. Who say, oh, you think only the Baptists are going to heaven? I think a lot of Baptists I know are going to hell. Because they're not saved, amen? Not because they're Baptists or not whatever. Religion can't save you. We don't preach religion, we preach Christ Jesus crucified for your sins, amen? Now, in the end, after you spend all your time and money on these things, you won't be any better. Your conscience won't be any clearer. Your heart won't feel any better. And you're still going to realize that inside, if God's convicting you, that you're unsaved, you're lost, your condition's going to kill you, and you need to be more concerned about it than what you are. This woman was concerned about it. If you'd have walked up to that woman and said, "You know, lady, you look pretty bad today," you think she'd get offended? She'd probably say, "You know what? I bet I do. You're a mess." She'd say, "Yep, I sure am." They'd say, "You know what? You actually stink from those wounds and sores." She'd say, "Can't argue with that." You go to a guy over here and say, "You know what? Here you are, drunk, a dope addict, a fornicator, an adulterer, or just a good suburbanite. You're lost, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and in God's eyes, you stink. How dare you say that? I belong to the First Baptist Church in Collierville." Well, whoop-de-doo. We run 5,000. And our budget's $10 million a year. How dare you say that? And I'm a deacon. I don't give a rip what you are, what your church budget is. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you can go to hell just like anybody else. That guy's problem is self-righteousness. She didn't have any self-righteousness. She'd been stripped of it. And that's where you need to be. God has to strip you of that where you realize and you see what you are for yourself in the mirror of God's Word. When you see that, you'll get concerned. You'll get concerned when the thing, when it starts showing up, when it starts manifesting itself in your life. And then you can spend all kinds of money, all kinds of time, and not be any better. Luke 8:43 says this. It says, "She spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." She couldn't get healed by anybody else. Nobody can help her. And nobody's going to be able to help you but one person, and that's Dr. Jesus. Amen. Notice her conviction. Look at verse 27, 28. Notice her conviction. Bible says here, when she had heard of Jesus, says she came in the press behind, that's the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may be touch his clothes, I shall be whole." Notice her conviction. A conviction shows that she's convinced of something. This is something that she believes with all her heart. She's tried all the doctors, she's tried all the physicians, she's tried all the quacks, she's tried all the alternatives, she's tried all the holistic, she's tried everything she can try. Nothing's worked, but then the Bible says in verse 27, she heard of Jesus and what he did. We read in chapter 6 at the beginning where the crowds, when Jesus Christ showed up, they came to him because they'd heard he'd healed people. She'd heard this. She'd heard what he'd done for other folks. And she thought, if he can do it for other people, maybe he can do it for me. And so she says here, she comes in behind with the crowd. She said, "If I can just touch his garment, I will be whole. I'll be healed if I can just touch him. I got to get to Jesus Christ. I got to get next to him. I got to get near him. I got to get close to Christ. If I can do that, I can be healed." Now notice the Bible says that she came to the Lord for help because she had heard, the Bible says, of Jesus. She'd heard of Jesus. Somehow she heard about him and what he'd done and could do. She may have heard some of these stories mentioned in the Bible. She may have heard about the widow of Nain's son whom Jesus Christ raised from the dead over in Luke chapter 7. She may have heard about the leper that Jesus Christ cleansed of his leprosy over in Matthew chapter 8. She might have heard about the madman that Jesus delivered from his demonic possession in Mark chapter 5. She might have heard about the two blind men along the wayside that Jesus Christ gave sight back to in Matthew chapter 9. They may have heard about the lame man that Jesus Christ healed in John chapter 5. She might not have just heard about it, but she actually might have met one of these people, and they actually told her what the Lord did for them and encouraged her to go find him. She might have been one day just wandering around or sitting around or laying around, and somebody walks up, maybe a guy who had been healed by Jesus Christ, and, "Hey, lady, I got some news for you. There's a man over here by the name of Jesus Christ, claims to be the Messiah. He healed me. I bet you if you go see him, he can do the same for you." That's a witness. That's what we do when we tell folks about Jesus Christ, how you can be saved. You know what? None of us is perfect in this room, but we're sincere. We're sincere. No matter how bad or hypocritical we might be, you know what? I don't care. You know what? You take it for instance. You go to the doctor's office. They say, "Eat right. Don't drink. Don't smoke, because, you know, it's going to affect your body and it's going to give you diseases and kill you. So don't smoke, don't drink, and lose weight." You go outside the doctor's office and there's a doctor or two and a nurse or two. What are they out there doing? up there smoking. What are they doing at the social party? They're drinking. They're imbibing. What are they doing? They're 50 pounds overweight, some of them. And they're telling you what to do? Yeah, because they know what they're telling you is right. I don't care if he's 100 pounds overweight. If he tells you to lose weight, you should lose weight. If he smokes like a fiend, you know what you ought to do? If he tells you not to smoke, don't smoke and follow him. Do what he says. Because he knows it'll kill you. He's not perfect, but he's sincere. Amen? We're not perfect, but we're sincere. Now, we're concerned. And she was concerned, and she had a conviction. Her conviction was, if I can just get next to Jesus Christ and touch His clothes and touch the hem of His garment, I shall be whole. She was convinced of that. And again, she had heard of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, the Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" He says you got to believe, you got to call on the name of Jesus Christ to save you. But you won't call on Him unless you believe on Him. And you can't believe on Him unless you've heard about Him. And you won't hear about Him unless somebody tells you about Him. So we got to tell folks. I got saved because somebody told me about Jesus Christ and what he could do for me. Amen? Somebody witnessed to me and told me that. And she was told because the Bible said she heard about Jesus Christ. The Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you hear the Word of God preach and talk, and it starts to make sense to you, and the Spirit of God starts to reveal truth to you, you start to say, you know what? What that preacher says is right. What that Sunday school teacher said was right. What that Bible tract said was right. What that Bible says is right. And your heart, you start to develop a conviction that, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm in a bad shape, no matter what I look like. And you know what? I need to get saved. You can have $1 billion in the bank and you still need to get saved. Amen? You can be a bum in the gutter and you still need to get saved, and you both get saved the same way because the ground is level at Calvary. Everybody comes the same way. Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, it says this, "She said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole." She said this within herself. She was thinking. In her heart she said, if I can just... She didn't say it out loud, she said it inside. If I can just get to Him, I can get saved. So she went. Now, we read there and we find that she didn't have the boldness to confront the Lord face to face. So she came up from behind, kind of snuck up on Him. And she didn't have the nerve to ask Him to touch her. So she said simply to herself, I can't ask Him to touch me, but if I can just touch Him, I'll be whole. I'll be saved. Now, you know what? She didn't have much faith. But she had enough. The Bible said if you have just a faith the size of a mustard seed, that's enough to get you into heaven if you put it in the right place. And that's in Jesus Christ. Amen? Now fourthly, notice her cure, or her cure is mentioned here also in verse 29. And so I can say this, and you can say it too. I've got good news for a sin-sick soul. Amen? And that is, you can find a cure. There is a cure. And Jesus Christ is the cure. Luke 8:44, the Bible says, "She came behind Him and touched the border of His garment." Verse 29 of Mark chapter 5, where we're at, says this, "And straightway," that means immediately, verse 29, "straightway," immediately, right in the moment, "the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Now, she felt it in her body. You're not saved by feeling. But if you get saved, you might get a feeling. I felt something when I got saved. I wasn't saved by a feeling, but I got a feeling. I felt like a burden had been lifted. I felt like I was clean on the inside. Something changed on the inside of me when I got saved. But you know what happened? It says here that there was a cure, and the cure was touching Jesus Christ's garment. And it says there straightway, immediately, she was cured of that plague. Mark chapter 5, verse 24, the same chapter, if you're still there, says that much people followed Him and thronged Him. Notice this. Much people followed Him and thronged Him. The Lord was being pressed by a crowd of people. The people were jostling all around Him, swarming all around Him. They were jammed together around Him. They were pushing, they were shoving, they were trying to get close to Jesus Christ. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that somebody touched Him in that crowd. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 30 to 32. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, virtue's power, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Now, although there were multitudes all around him, bumping him and jostling him around, he recognized that a sinner had just touched him by faith to get healed. We're in this crowd here. We're not a lot of people here this morning. But when we're having our fellowship time, you walk around, you bump into somebody, somebody bumps into you. If you're not paying attention, you don't know who it was. But if you're in a big old crowd out there someplace, and you're the celebrity like Jesus Christ was that day, and there's people all swirling all around you, and you're shaking hands or touching people, whatever it might be, and talking to folks and that kind of thing, and then one person, you know, just touch it like that as you're going by. Who touched me? Well, how come there's been 100 people touched in the last 5 minutes, Lord? You didn't ask that question the last 5 minutes. Why are you asking now? Because somebody touched me. They just didn't bump into me. They touched me on purpose. They came to me on purpose. He said, Where is she? He looked back and he sees her. He knows who you are. So all you got to do is touch him, amen. But by faith. She touched him by faith. Now, he felt that virtue had left him. And she felt that virtue come into her immediately, straightway, the Bible says. And Christ knew this. He knew that, and she knew it as well, that an eternal spiritual contact had just been made between a needy sinner and the Savior of mankind. And I can say this. It happened to me at 11 o'clock at night, May 11th, 1976, in my bedroom at 946 Holt Avenue in Hanford, California. Senior in high school. God touched me. Because I got saved that night. I got down on my knees and I called out to Jesus Christ to save my soul, forgive my sin, and give me eternal life. And you know what? He came into me. Virtue came into me. Left him. And I knew I got saved and born again that night. I knew it. She knew she'd been healed. She knew she'd been made whole. And when a person gets saved by trusting Jesus Christ, they know they got saved. You might get dunked in the water and wonder what happened. You might go take communion and wonder what happened. Anything happened? No. But when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know something took place. And if you don't know something took place, nothing did. Now notice another thing here. We're almost done. Notice her confession, verse number 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Luke 8:47 says this about the same thing. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, everybody saw her. You know what? She was unclean according to the law. She probably shouldn't even have been out in public according to the Jewish law of that day. But you know what? She was. And she was afraid. I'm not supposed to be here. But you know what? All sinners are welcome. Amen. If you're a sinner, you're welcome. The Lord won't turn you away. He said, if you'll come to me, he said, I'll no wise cast you out. If you just come to me as a sinner in need of salvation, he said, you can come anytime you want to. I'm ready. I'm willing to take you in. And he did her. And so she's fearing, she's trembling, but there's no reason to be trembling. She's afraid, but there's no reason to be afraid now. She's been healed, and Jesus Christ loved her enough to do that for her. Just like he did enough to you, for me, for you and me to die for us. Now, the saved sinner needs to do what she did. And that is, confess Christ publicly. She didn't keep it to herself. She got healed and then she told about it. She told why she came and she told what happened to her. How she was healed. Tells about it there in front of this crowd. And a newly saved Christian needs to tell somebody what happened to him. When somebody gets saved, I say, go tell somebody. Go tell your wife. Go tell your husband. Go tell your kid. Go tell your mom and dad. Go tell your best friend. Go tell this guy here that you got. Just tell somebody that you got saved. You ain't got to go down to the bar and tell somebody. You ain't got to go down, you know, to the... You can just do it in church. Just tell somebody. Amen? Romans 10 says this in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you're ashamed to mention the fact that you're saved among a bunch of saved folks, there's something wrong with your spirituality. You ought to be able to confess that in front of the folks. You say, I'm shy, I'm bashful. Well, Maybe you are, but you still need to, you won't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're ashamed of yourself, but you'll be ashamed of Him. And you ought to confess Him publicly. How can you confess Jesus Christ? Well, a good time is an invitation time in church. Amen, like we said. Matthew 10, the Bible says this, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me, Christ, before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Christ says, confess me here, I'll confess you up there. You deny me down here, I will deny you at the judgment. You've got to confess Him as your personal Savior. When's the last time you said, "Jesus Christ is my Savior"? Felt good. You ain't got to be a nut or a crackpot, but you know what? If you're saved, you've got to be able to say, "Yep, I am a child of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," the Bible says, and so I'm saying so. It's easy to say it here. Go on a street corner and say it. "Bless God, I'm saved. Amen. I'm going to heaven." That might even feel better. Out of your comfort zone. So she confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Not only that, finally look at number 6 here. Notice her comfort. Verse number 34. Her comfort. "And he said unto her, Daughter," she's now a child of God, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Not your baptism, not your church, not your good works, not your good intentions. He said, "Your faith." What faith? She put her faith in Him. Faith in Christ is what saves. "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." He said, "Go in peace and be whole." Be healed. In our case, be saved from your sin. Notice this. She was healed of her disease the moment that she touched Jesus Christ in faith. And that's the whole key right there. By faith, you've got to put... What's faith? Faith is simply putting your trust, your confidence, your faith in someone to do something for you. And trust them to do it. Put it this way. What or who are you counting on to get you to heaven today? Answer that question to yourself. What are you counting on? Who are you counting on to get you to heaven today? Got the answer? Then that's what you're trusting to get you to heaven. And if it isn't Jesus Christ alone, then you answered wrong. And you failed the test. And you're going to need to get saved by putting your faith and trust in Him. But once you do that, He'll say, "Go in peace. Be whole." Jesus Christ gave her assurance. He confirmed her faith in Him. Her disease would never come back. Her healing was permanent. And I believe our salvation is permanent. When He healed her of that disease, it didn't go into remission. It went away. And when you get saved, your sins don't go into remission. They go away as far as the east is from the west, the Bible tells me. And they're removed from me. They're gone. That song says, "My sins are gone." Amen. And when your sins are gone, you're saved. Jesus Christ saves you, and He saves you for eternity. You got saved the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, you can get saved the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by calling on Him to save you from your sins and give you eternal life and forgive you and give you eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says this, "These things have I written," right here it is, "These things have I," God says, "these things are written unto you." Why? "That you may believe on the name of the Son of God," so that you can put your faith in Christ. Believe on Christ. "And that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." He said, "I wrote it so that you can believe in Christ and have eternal life." That's why I wrote it. You can K-N-O-W, you can know it. This woman knew she'd been healed. You can know you've been saved. Dr. Jesus can heal all your soul's diseases, and He can save you from sin and give you eternal life. As Peter said to the men here in Acts chapter 4, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Must be saved by Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do it. Why go to a doctor who can't heal you? Go to the one who can, amen? There's only one who can heal you of your sin. That's Jesus Christ, the great physician. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank You for this day and for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have once again to be in the church house today. Thank You for each one that's come this morning. And Father, we pray that You might bless the message from the Word of God this morning. Father, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would take the truths that have been preached this morning and use them in our hearts and lives today. God, I pray that You might help us to realize and, Lord, just see how You saved us. God, this woman here is a picture of how a person comes to Christ And Father, I can see in this story here some things in my own personal life, how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Maybe not everything, but I can see some things here, Father, that remind me of when I got saved and how I came to know the Lord. It wasn't just in a day, but it was over a period of months that God, You dealt with me. And people witnessed to me, and I asked questions, and I thought about it, and I even prayed about it. And God, one night, it just all came together, and Lord, the Holy Spirit of God got me where I needed to be. And Father, I got on my knees, and by Your grace, I was able to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I've been saved ever since. I'm thankful for it. God, if there's anybody here today who's not sure of their salvation, and God, today, I pray You might speak to their hearts. Show them, God, their need of Christ. Show them, God, their sinful condition before You. Help them to realize, God, that without the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from their sin, God, that they have no hope. Lord, may they come to Christ today. May they trust Him as their Savior. If they've never done that, we ask it in Christ's name.